My name is Zach Sims, and it is October 14th. It's about 12:20 in the afternoon, and I am here with Sophia. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Sophia Pineda.
So just general information, like how old are you, where you live, what school do you go to?
Okay, so I'm 17 years old. I go to Albemarle High School. I live in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Yeah, all right, that's good. No, okay. no pressure. This is just, we're just talking.
Okay, really, cool.
I can go back and edit if we need to.
Okay.
I can cut stuff out. Don't worry about it. All right, so you are a Latino immigrant, officially, to the United States. So where are you initially from?
So I am from San Pedro Sula, Honduras.
Ooh, I like that. That's the way that you said that.
Yes.
Sorry.
I grew up in a very, well, San Pedro Sula is the most, is the industrial city in Honduras. I grew up there.
Okay. So, like, let me get a timer on. So let's talk about Honduras as a whole right now. So what's kind of, like, the situation going on in Honduras? Is it kind of, like, unrest, or people, like, for the most part, kind of all right, or like, what's going on in Honduras right now? Because I'm not exactly familiar with the situation there.
So right now Honduras is very dangerous.
Okay.
In some way, we have a lot of problems with gangs and robbery, and especially where I lived, we were basically surrounded by the areas that were the most, like, that were attacked
more frequently.
Yeah. And yeah, it was, well, I grew up in a very, like, I grew up segregated from the world, basically.
Uh-huh.
So, like, my childhood, basically, I didn't went out, or, like,
really?
I didn't hang out with friends a lot, or I couldn't go out. And just, like, enjoy my childhood. So I basically spend my whole time in a bedroom with full of toys. That was it. That was my childhood.
Yeah, I know. Just because I know you, your parents are fairly strict. Would you say that was kind of common for people in your area, or was really just because your parents were trying to protect you from stuff going on?
So I guess more generally, I feel like Hispanic parents, especially, they're very strict. But my parents kind of just, like, integrated that cultural thing from the Hispanic community, I guess. And, my whole life, I grew up in a school that was Christian, and we spoke English. We
really?
Had every single class in English, and we just had, like, one class in Spanish.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was... It was basically from my house to school and from my school to my house.
Okay.
So, like, back and forth, nothing in between.
Was it a Catholic school?
It was not. It was an evangelic.
Yeah.
School, I guess.
Yeah.
It's very similar to a Baptist.
Yeah.
So we had like a church and also a school.
Interesting. So how big was the town or city that you grew up in?
Since it was the industrial city. In Honduras, I guess it was very well populated.
Oh, okay.
It was very big. Well, it is very big.
So, you say industrial, so there were, like, a lot of factories and stuff around that people worked in. Did most people work in the factories, and kind of, like, have some job connected to those companies? Kind of like how here in Charlottesville, like, so many people work for UVA, and, like, everybody seems like they do something with UVA. Was it kind of a similar deal there?
I guess where you live, it depends where you stand in, like, socially, I guess. My family, none of us, we didn't, like, grew up in, like, that kind of environment, I guess. But I knew a lot of people that worked in factories.
Okay. That's...
And, yeah, it was, even though it was not the capital of Honduras, it was, like, the second most populated city.
Wow, so it's a big city.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, interesting. All right. More things about Honduras. What are some of the things that you think are distinct to Honduras, kind of in comparison to the other parts of Central America? So like whether it's like a specific food or a specific like tradition that you guys did, like is there something that you would say is like specifically and very like, oh yeah, that's obviously from Honduras?
So what I think most people say about Honduras is like, oh, do you want to know the most dangerous place in the world?
Gotcha.
That's Honduras, especially where I live. And yeah, I mean, we are very like similar to other countries in Central America. We basically have the same traditions, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
We have our own food, like we produce our own food, and we have I mean, do you want me to be specific?
Yeah, sure, go for it.
Okay, we have this food that is very popular that's called baleadas.
Okay.
It has beans, cheese.
Is it like
eggs?
Is it like something that's like fried, or is it just like a plate of food that you kind of like make up together?
So it's kind of like a flour tortilla, I guess. Okay. And you put like the beans in there. You can even put chicken if you want to.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
All right, cool. So let's start talking about a little bit of immigration working towards going to the United States. So what would you say were some of the main causes of your family deciding to kind of pick up things and leave?
Mm-hmm. So kind of like going back to like...
Wait, hold on. Sorry, not to stop you. How old were you when you guys moved over here?
14.
14. All right. So this was 3 years ago?
3 years ago.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Resume. So like pretty recently we... so like I think the 23rd...
Of October?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, September.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, September.
So just recently, 3 years.
So yeah, just recently.
Wow.
And let's say, so like, kind of like going back, my dad, he was a lawyer for the government, and then my mom, he's like, what? Yeah. So he handled money for the government, and then my mom, for 8 years, she was like, I guess you will call her like the superintendent here from like a district in Honduras. And yeah, so after that, my mom, she was a principal at school at a high school in Honduras, like on the afternoons. And then in the morning, she was like a regular Spanish teacher.
Fine.
So she had like
two jobs. Yeah.
And then my dad, he was still working in the same place. And then we have a very... We have an issue in Honduras, but like politically.
Uh-huh.
So if you're from one party, then if that party wins in the elections, then like they take control over everything, you know? So where my dad used to work, he's a Democratic, liberal.
Yeah. So what are the names of those two parties, like the Spanish names? What would you call them in Honduras?
Do you want me to say in Spanish?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Go for it.
Partido Liberal.
Okay.
Right. So party,
yeah, just like liberal team, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the other party is nacionalistas, so like nationalists.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So my dad, my family is very. They are like we were very like, I guess integrated into the politics. My
right.
parents.
Right. Your dad worked for the government.
Exactly.
And he was
so,
in a position of dealing with stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. So, I think it was the elections of 2014 around there that the nationalists won the election in Honduras, and so my dad had a job like I said, right? And then like they tried everything they could to take him out of the job just because he was not from the same party as they so yeah, that happened. So he got fired. He demanded.
He just lost his job.
Yeah. So he So he sued the government, and he won the demand. So we kind of had a lot of money.
Yes.
And like my dad was in the news and everything.
Wow.
Yeah. So like having a lot of money and also going on the news, then our people are gonna think, oh,
gonna
that family.
Money,
that family has a lot of money. So we have to go and like.
Yeah.
Rob them or something.
So would you say that you guys like, it's, yeah, that's like an interesting situation. It's almost like, not quite like political refuge, but like you guys were just gotten in a sticky situation in Honduras, and it really, you know, wouldn't be great for you guys to stay there because, you know, another party had control, mm-hmm. and your dad was very involved with politics, and he just won this suit against the power, the party that has a lot of control. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So would you say, this is kind of like a deep and like maybe personal question, would you say that you guys were in any like physical danger if you guys had stayed? Or do you think it was much less of something like that and much more just political thing?
I think it was like a little bit of both.
Okay.
Because if you're very like involved in politics, then other people know that you're involved in those politics. So you kind of have to like take a risk in going out there. So once he was fired, we stayed like that for 2 years. Uh-huh. So because he was a lawyer, so he did some like little stuff. He could like handle taking small cases for some people, but we couldn't stay like that all the time. So
I think that's interesting because a lot of times you just think like monetary gain or like money is like.
Oh, thanks.
No, you're fine.
Oh, my keys
in your car.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Do you need them? No.
Okay, so I'll come and give them to you.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, normally you think of, like, monetary gain being something you need in order to flee a situation and get out of the country. Like, you have to, like, gather up as much money as possible, and that's kind of what's holding you back. But with your guy's situation, like, you just won this lawsuit, and all of a sudden you have, like, this abundance of money. And that existence of the abundance of money kind of pushed you guys out. Because, like, it doesn't look good for a political opponent to have a lot of money, you know, and kind of like, so that's interesting. All right. So what did the process, this is kind of like the nitty gritty stuff. okay. What did the process of coming to the United States look like? Were you like, I don't even know. Did it take a long time for you guys in Honduras to be able to say like, let's get on a plane and go. And then like, once you got here, what did it look like? So just give me the details of that. Like, how you felt, you know, kind of the whole way that you felt through the process is also kind of important.
So let's see, I was about to go to high school basically when we came here. So we have been talking about that back in Honduras for like a year and something, because we had my family, like Andres' family, like coming here for a similar situation. Uh-huh. So we thought, oh, okay, so if we go, then we're going to have, like, family support over there and everything. But we stayed like that for a year. Like, are we going to go? Are we going to stay? And something like that. Because, like, my mom, she was, like, very attached to her work, I guess. So it was, like, a struggle to convince her, basically, to, like, come here.
I mean, it's a big deal. You're like, picking up your entire life and leaving.
That's, exactly. That's and no I was joke. 14. I was like, oh, I already know what I'm going to do with my life, or something like that.
All right. So, did you guys like apply for anything, or did you just like get passports and go?
We already had a visa here.
Okay.
So I guess like an advantage for my brother and myself to like having this like fluent English, I guess.
Because you guys went to a school that spoke English.
Yeah, exactly. And because we've been here, like, almost every Christmas we came here to visit.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So, like, we have family down in Rockville, Maryland.
Okay.
We also have family in New York and Miami. So we kind of, like, went all over the place during the holidays. And then we went back to Honduras. But this time we were like, okay, so if we travel with a visa, then we're going to go there and we're going to apply for asylum, basically.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So that's like the legal stuff that we did. And still in process, I guess.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you guys haven't officially like gotten the paperwork that you need to be able to live here, but you guys are kind of just waiting for it to go through processing still?
So we have a legal status over here.
Uh-huh.
We don't have exactly like the asylum. Uh-huh. That's the one that Andrea's family just got like recently, probably like a couple of months ago.
Yeah, it was like 3 or 4. Mm-hmm.
And so I guess we're still waiting for that. It's been just like 3 years and they waited like 5 years. So we are we're hoping that some laws change through this, because like there have been like some news that there are going to be some reforms through immigration.
Lots of kind of crap all over the place.
Exactly. And so we are, like, hoping something comes out, but we were approved to, like, be in the process of the asylum, so we have our social security, and that's the way we can work and, like, pay for taxes and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So that's really, like, helpful that you guys, like, came and visited every year for Christmas, because you guys already had your visas and you didn't have to wait and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're still waiting a lot, and there's a lot of processing. All right, that's good. So, transitioning to the United States, you said already that you went to a school that spoke English, so your English was already good, basically. what was life like coming to the United States and living here? Like, what did, you know, just tell me about it. How did you feel about it?
So, I guess in education, it was, like, a lot different. I guess, like, teachers here have a lot of, like, they're very professional, so, like, you have to have a year degree to be able to go and be able to teach and stuff like that. But back in Honduras, like, if you know English and you know math, you're going to be a teacher. So that's basically it. So I remember, like, my math teacher back in Honduras, she had, like, recently graduated from high school. And then, because she was really good at math, you're going to be a teacher then.
Oh my gosh.
Know English, so... she was really good, but it was not, like, professional, I guess, or, like, not teacher material, I guess.
Okay.
And so when we came here, like, teachers are very prepared for the classes, and they know what they're doing, and, like, so it was pretty good and great, like, in the education side, I guess. But then, like, making friends and all that stuff, it was so hard. It was really hard.
Okay, let's go into that a little bit. So what was the best way, I think, that for you, what was the best way for you to make friends? Whether it was, like, clubs or just, like, being in class with people and making jokes and saying, hey, you know, like, we have this thing in common, like, you know, whatever. What was kind of the best way that you went about making friends?
So I feel like more recently I've felt more comfortable, like, talking, being open and, like, talking to people.
Uh-huh.
But back then, like 2 years ago, I didn't talk to anyone. Like, I had my cousins with me when we were in high school. So I was, like, during lunch, we just hung out together. And it was basically just us, like, talking to each other. So, like, the first 2 years were, like, kind of hard because, like, I just felt like that language barrier was, like, keeping me from, like, speaking up and stuff like that. But recently, I just, it was just different, I guess. I think, like, ever since Puerto Rico, I just felt like, I mean, just go for it.
Yeah, why not? You're a senior in high school, right?
Yeah, I am.
I mean, it's your senior year. You have to get advantage of it.
Yeah, and, like, I'm doing everything. I'm doing, like, clubs here and clubs the other way. And I just recently started a club called Latinx. There's one in UVA and one in Charlottesville.
Oh, wow.
So we decided to open one in Albemarle. And, yeah, I just feel like... Well, we talk, like, 50% English, 50% Spanish.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just feel like being involved in, like, the school and giving, like, the Latino community, like, a voice in school.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's been pretty good.
So,
it's very important.
Shoot, I had a question. Okay, so kind of, like, broader, like, stuff. What were some things that, like, culturally speaking, coming from Honduras, and to the United States, kind of you found as, like, shocking or, like, wow, I really, like, that's, you know, almost exactly the same way that we do things in Honduras, or, like, so, like, what are things that, like, kind of shocked you, things that were, like, didn't really surprise you, and kind of just something you found interesting about the switch from Honduras to the United States?
So we have a very different culture.
Yeah.
Like, it's very, very different. Especially for my family, like, my brother and I, we grew up in a very religious family, so there were stuff that we couldn't do and stuff that we could do. And what I've noticed is that, like, people here in the U.S., like, even though you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, you hang out with your friends, or you go eat, and you go eat with them, or go catch a movie, or I don't know, stuff like that. Exactly. And then in Honduras, I couldn't do any of that. Like, if I went out, it was probably just with my parents. Or if I went out with my friends, it was basically they had to be there as well.
Yeah.
So, very strict.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So what was one thing that you kind of, or were there any things that you really thought like, hey, that's kind of similar to, or you didn't really notice, or, you know, kind of something that just seemed the same?
The same?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Because normally you highlight like, wow, this is so different. Like we do all these things in Honduras and you guys do all these things here. But I guess one thing that I thought might be a good question to ask is like, if there's any way that people act and kind of do things that's the same, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's like even something as simple as like we eat the same time, you know, or like, I don't know, the way that we care about sports is the same, even though it's a different sport or something like that. Do you think there's anything like that or?
Yeah, probably sports. We have soccer in Honduras, I guess. It's kind of like, well, it's not a big thing in the U.S. I guess they like football better than they do soccer. But, I mean, they are very, I guess, like, very, like, into sports. Yeah. A lot of people, like, we have a lot of, like, small groups in Honduras or like football or soccer.
Don't worry.
I don't know the difference. I mean, I do know the difference, but I don't know which one you need. Okay, so we have a lot of like different groups in Honduras, and I feel like people are very inclined to like follow
a
certain sport. You don't hear a lot in Honduras like someone playing tennis or golf.
Yeah.
Especially golf. So yeah, I guess like I don't know, it doesn't really relate with my life, I guess.
Cause, no,
like,
that's okay.
Yeah, my family, we are not very into sports.
Yeah,
well,
that's
my
okay.
mom was something. Yeah, not me.
Didn't Honduras go to war with El Salvador over like a couple soccer games?
Oh, yeah, yes. I heard about that. I don't know the whole story, but I did hear about that.
I don't think it was actually about soccer games, but I think.
I heard about that they were fighting for an island or something like that. And that's like very close to El Salvador, and like it's like right in the middle of like El Salvador and Honduras.
Uh-huh.
But what I knew is that Honduras bought that island, but because it was like covering one side of El Salvador, they were claiming that it was theirs. So
gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's probably more important than like a soccer match, but it kind of gets hailed at that because that's really funny.
Yeah.
So. Okay, this is a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like with the sense of community in Honduras, I know you were sheltered, so you probably didn't see as much of that, but I'm sure you could probably be at least a little bit familiar with it. Were there any like major differences just between like people in the same neighborhood having like ties or something, like, you know, feeling like they're close and bonded, whereas like over here, like, I don't know anybody in my neighborhood for the most part, you know?
Yeah.
Versus, like, church groups that you have, you know, you feel really bonded there. Is there kind of the sense of community, is there anything really different or harsh that you found from going there to here?
Mm-hmm. So I guess I didn't really live this, but I know a lot of people, like, people from communities and, like, from neighborhoods, they knew each other, like... I guess if you didn't have your keys to get to your home, you just go to your neighbor and stay there for like the afternoon till your parents got there. And it was like, people are very like friendly and they're very open with each other. And like they create a relationship like that. I mean, I've heard a lot of just like stories of like, oh, my neighbor, she's my best friend. Or she's like, I tell her all my secrets and everything. Right. And I mean, I didn't grow up like that, but
you kind of have like a little bit of a special story, I guess, in that sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So what, how do I want to phrase this? I had it in my head. I'm sorry. Okay. So what was it like just being in the United States? I lost my train of thought. I had it right on the tip of my tongue. Hold on, it's coming back.
I'm sending vibes.
I'm gonna cut this part out. Oh yeah. So, coming in, you said that Andrea and her family. So you guys like knew people in this area. Did they live in Charlottesville when you guys were back trying to make the decision?
Yeah, so when they came here, they spent like 1 or 2 weeks in Brockville, Maryland with my other family. Uh-huh. But then they moved to Charlottesville just because they thought they was going to be better. And they started working at a restaurant. And then they started to move on from that once the legal stuff started to take place and everything. So we were just looking at how they were doing with all, like, how they were basically like moving on from mm-hmm. like the harsh like lifestyle yeah. or like the difference on like coming to this yeah. country, you know, because like you're not doing the same job,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
You kind of have to really start over.
Exactly, like it's basically like starting your whole life over. Yeah. And not just for like us as teenagers or like young adults, but like for your parents that they yeah. basically build a life there,
right?
So like her mom, like she used to work like at the same basically the same thing that my mom used to work.
Uh-huh.
And then she came here and they started working at a restaurant like as yeah. a family, but then they started to like progress and like
yeah.
So we kind of saw their example as to like a thing, like a motivation basically yeah. to come here,
like you can do it.
Mm-hmm. it's hard but then you're gonna move on from
right.
that and like,
yeah.
it's gonna get better basically.
So there's kind of this theory behind works with immigration, and it's called networking.
Mm.
So it's kind of like once somebody comes and like starts to do it and they can do it, like they don't necessarily invite, but they influence the other people that they know back home basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes them easier for them to come and like, oh hey, I know this person, here's a job here, like I can set you up kind of thing. And like
yeah.
it just knowing people around makes it easier to live there and
mm-hmm.
and get stuff down.
Definitely.
So, like, once that first family does come and is, like, successful, so, like,
mm-hmm.
Andrea's family, which is, like, incredibly difficult to do
yeah.
just in general, like, that kind of plays along with the theory. Like, it just, I'm sure it made the decision a little bit easier knowing that they were here. Do you know of any other reasons why you guys came or would come to Charlottesville other than, really, you guys knew Rudy and his family
mm-hmm.
came here and, you know, were successful?
Mm-hmm. So, when we came here 3 years ago, the
uh-huh.
first year we used to live in Brockville, Maryland.
Oh, so you guys did live out there for a little while.
Yeah, so we stayed there longer than they did. But then we just thought that opportunities here in Charlottesville were, like, bigger
uh-huh.
for my family. And then, like, Andrea's mother, she got, like, a job at a preschool. And
mm-hmm.
so my mom saw that, and she was like, oh, I think I can do that because my mom has, like, a greater mass or like level of education
yeah.
than my so she was like, oh, so if she did it that way, then it's possible that I could
yeah.
do it the same way. So that was kind of like one of the things that we chose to stay in Charlottesville the longest, I guess.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys have been in Charlottesville for 2 years then,
mm-hmm.
right? So you can answer yes or no for this. I'm not like pressuring you on to answering like, oh yeah, but can you kind of feel like a sense of like ownership in a sense or community
mm-hmm.
with just Charlottesville itself, or like kind of in comparison to like back home or even in Rockville, you guys were there for a year.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause like certainly I've grown up in Charlottesville my entire life
mm-hmm.
and I definitely feel like sense of like longing and like, oh yeah, that's like Charlottesville. That's where I live. That's my home city. Do you kind of have any of the same vibes or similar feelings with Charlottesville, or, you know, like, are you still like, nah, that's not really, it's kind of just where I live?
Probably not.
Yeah, I mean,
just
that's perfectly
in the sense
fine.
That you feel more comfortable when you're around people that you've known your entire life,
yeah.
you know, and like people that speak your same language.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
No, probably not yet.
That's okay. I
yeah.
mean, you don't, yeah, I don't want to pressure you into be like, oh, you have to love Charlottesville, because like there are plenty of problems.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, we're, like, especially me, I guess, I'm, like, really trying to, like,
yeah.
just, like, to feel comfortable in the place that
yeah.
it's not where I grew up, basically.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
That's a great bridge into my next question. So,
mm-hmm.
like, you mentioned the Latino club that you started. What was the name of that again?
Latinx.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And kind of, like, being comfortable in, like, it's not your first language and coming in. So how do you think, that, like, what does that feel like, not being comfortable in, like, your own high school and kind
mm-hmm.
of, like, your own language and things like that, and coming into a new country? And then kind of after you answer that question, where do you see, like, it going forward, and how can we make it better for people that are coming in and aren't comfortable, and especially the Latino community, kind of how we can make them feel more comfortable and, you know, kind of open up things so that they are better.
So the Latinx Club started this year, and our goal is to give a voice to those like Latinos at school and feel that they don't have to go to school just because they have to get their classes done, but because it's a place where they can gather together and make friends and like hang out and feel comfortable, even though it's not a place where like you grew up, that it's not a place that you know that you have known like your entire life, you know. So our goal is to like integrate those people and give them like an environment where they can feel that they belong somewhere. So like I went on a leadership retreat this past weekend, and I feel like I learned a lot from them from that, because like they're trying to get involved more more people that are not just like American, you know. Like when I was there like this past weekend, it was just like five people that were not from like from here. So we had, I guess, so yeah, like four people from Latin America, and then another person from Afghanistan. And so what we are trying to do is like to get more people into going to those literature retreats and like feel that they belong somewhere and like identify themselves, like, oh, that's Albemarle High School, I went there, and like I made a lot of like memories over there. So make them feel like they're at home, basically.
That's awesome. So what do you think we can do better, kind of as a society or as Charlottesville or just as teenagers even, to make people feel more welcome and feel more at home, and kind of get away from this idea of like, oh, I'm an American because I grew up here, I'm white, I'm redneck, you know, like I kind of get away from that idea, and into like, you know, this is your home, this, because, you know, this is where you live and you should feel comfortable. How do you think we can like do better at that?
So I guess like we, like the Latino communities and other people that are that didn't grow up in the U.S., they just want to feel that they belong somewhere when they come here. So I guess like we have to adapt to this new culture so that that we can like succeed or like move on from this.
Make things
like,
work.
Or like, make things work. We can just like integrate everyone, you know, because one of my problems was like I just felt like the school was very segregated. So we had like this type of people taking honors or AP classes, or this kind of people taking like ASL classes, or like they're not allowed to take any other languages because they have to learn English. So one of the things that I'm doing is that like regular classes like personal finance or this require, or P, those require classes that you have to take to like mix them together and like create a sense that it's not segregated and it's more like diverse. So like include them in everything they do, and like this year what we are doing in Albemarle is not like, if we have a spirit week, we're not just doing posters in English, we're doing it in Spanish or in other languages that we have around the school. So like making them feel more like integrated in a place where, I mean, they didn't grow up in, so like making them feel welcome.
That's awesome. Okay. All right, so I guess just one more big question, kind of reflections that you've had as a whole, kind of looking at the way that you felt during the whole process and kind of the entirety of moving countries, you know, and entirely different societies, kind of what do you get from that, like, what did you learn from that? Was it you know, good, bad, you know, not really that great experience, and kind of just self-reflections and like final thoughts, kind of?
It was pretty hard, I guess, when we came here, because we didn't have like a house to stay to. I don't know, I guess. So the first year, like I said before, we stayed with my aunt down in Rockville, Maryland. So we kind of like lived in her basement for a couple of months, and then we moved here. But it was not like, it was not your home. It was, it didn't feel like home.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely. I can't imagine.
I
can't imagine like picking up things and moving to like China or something. You know?
Yeah, and I mean, like we just like we had a like a bag with us, and that was it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, all this stuff that my mom bought recently in Honduras. Yeah. It was just gone.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You know, people say like, oh, it's such an adventure. But no, yeah, that's terrifying. No,
it's terrifying. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's pretty much all I have. That's 35 minutes of speaking. Thanks for allowing me to do this. I'm going to write a lot of stuff about this.
Okay.
And that's all I got.
Okay. If you need more things, I feel like I'm not telling
we
enough,
can do a
I
supplement.
Guess.
Sure.
I mean, we can do this again.
Yeah.
And just like me not being too nervous, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's no problem. Yeah. If I think of a good amount of big questions.
Okay.
And,
just like write them down. And,
yeah.
Like,
and I'll bring them and we can do like a 10-minute supplement
or
something like that. All right.
That'll be perfect.